Welcome back for the second hour of our special live broadcast of Search the Scriptures Daily with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could stay with us. This hour, Dave and Tom will address the topic of Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged. Joining the discussion will be Carol Matriciana of Jeremiah Films. To call in your questions to Dave and Tom, call 888-564-6173. To call our ministry directly, call 800-937-6638. Or email your questions by going to our website, www.thebereancall.org. And now, once again, from our studios in Bend, Oregon, here are Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. Well, welcome to our second hour. And again, a little different subject here, Harry Potter, which has been a polemic, a controversy within Christianity. Those pro, thinking it's okay, and those who really believe it's abhorrent to the faith. And we do have Carol Matriciana. Carol?
Yes, I'm here, Tom.
Welcome.
Thank you so very, very much for allowing me to be a guest on your show.
Carol, it's our pleasure.
Hi, Carol.
Hello, Dave.
I watched your video the other night. I think it's terrific, and I would recommend it.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dave. Yeah. That's certainly a compliment coming from you, up-and-coming filmmaker that you are.
Carol, as you know, and better than most, this is a polemic. This is a real controversy within the church. Now, here we have a book, as you well know, four volumes now. We have a movie that's out. Literally, the world is enamored with it. But my concern here, and the concern of this program, is that we seem to see many within the church believing that this is okay. This is not a bad thing.
Tom, this is absolutely bewildering, and there is such division in the church about this issue. The concern I see, and the way I see it, and I've been on hundreds of radio shows since book number 3 came out, and since our video came out, and so I'm getting a lot of feedback from concerned listeners. And it seems that an awful lot of people are listening to the Christian leaders, Christian celebrities that have endorsed, in a sense, the reading of Harry Potter and said that it's okay as long as it's age appropriate. And the question is, you know, what is age appropriate? And as long as there is parental guidance, i.e. the parents reading the book with the children. But if we look at the content of the books and see what the books are about, it's about a witch and 350 witches that go to a 1,000-year-old boarding school that teaches every single class in occultism that is part of occult learning today. For instance, palmistry, tea leaf reading, crystal ball gazing, astrology, numerology, divination, sorcery, potion mixing. And this is not fantasy. Although J.K. Rowling, the author, the English author, these books have been given credit as being fantasy books, the actual religious indoctrination, the teaching that is the parts of the book that are based on supernatural teachings come from actual religious bases, actually based in mythology, which is J.K. Rowling's major. She majored at Exeter University in England in mythology and says that she has drawn from the Greek religions, the Roman religions, paganism, Druidism, Satanism. She has said that a lot of her research comes from actual witchcraft and the dark arts. And we see all these reflected in her writings. So while Harry Potter may be fictional, while the school, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, may be fictional, the fact is that the lessons that the occult teachers teach are based in actual religious teaching. Mm-hmm. Couched in humor, very, very funny. Latin words come out. She's very quick with her wit. She's quick with clever words and analogies. But basically, she draws from the creatures of mythology, the half animals, the half humans. And so, you know, this is the danger.
Carol, I just went through the first book and just recently saw the film. This isn't shabby stuff. This is fairly good literature, interesting stories, and on the screen, it's a bit overwhelming.
It is. I was amazed. I mean, it's absolutely blatant in its occult teaching. And in fact, Warner Brothers said of the movie, and remember that the first movie that's just come out was based on book number one. And of course, there are another six to come. And this was the Philosopher's Stone or the Sorcerer's Stone. And Warner Brothers said of the movie that it is an accurate portrayal of witchcraft. So here we have Warner Brothers itself admitting it. And Chris Columbus, the director of the film, saying that they kept very, very close to the book. And J.K. Rowling was on the set advising on the situations of the occult and the coloring of the occult and what worked and what didn't work. And Chris Columbus, the director, said his eyes were just opened because she was a wealth of information. And look at the film, the very first instance, the way that the film opened with Merlin, this sort of Merlin-type
wizard.
Professor, wizard, Dumbledore, who is the headmaster of the school. He comes in with his wand, and the first thing that happens, interestingly enough, in the film, are the lights go off. The 5 points, it's the circle, the pentagram, and the lights go off. I mean, the symbology of that, that we now go into the dark world and the lights as we see them on the street of Privet Drive, the street where the Dursleys live, where Harry is going to be deposited for the next part of his life, we're put into darkness.
Carol, I want to bring Dave in on this, but I would think that there wouldn't be an argument here. For example, 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Now, why would that be a problem for Christians with regard to being confused as to whether this is good or bad, Dave?
Well, I think the controversy comes among those who say, well, but it's an entertaining story, and people know that it's fantasy, and it's not going to lead anyone into anything. On the contrary, I have read many quotes, and Carol gives some in her video, of 7, 8, 10, 12-year-old children who have gotten into witchcraft because this book has inspired them. They want to emulate Harry Potter. They want to be able to have the powers that he has. There are many things that would concern a parent if their children got interested in this, because it's not like when I was a boy when I read Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, and this kind of stuff, or the Fables of Aesop the Slave, or the fantasies, Grimm's Brothers, fairy tales, and so forth. We knew that those were fairy tales. We also knew that there were good guys and bad guys. From what little I know of Harry Potter, it seems like this is a force that anybody can have. And Harry is not, he doesn't always use this for good. He's not always the honest boy, the good boy, and so forth. But you are being given the idea, and children are being given the idea, that here is a power that apparently is within all of us. It's available for everyone. It's like the Star Wars Force. You can use the dark side or the light side of it. It doesn't matter. So it's amoral. It doesn't make any sense, of course. We had a program that we were taping today, and I mentioned that we've often said, if everyone got the powers, if everyone could play the Star Wars Force, this would not bring peace. It would make it worse. We would just have a bunch of Obi-Wans and Darth Vader zapping one another with psychic power. Mm-hmm. And if everyone could get Harry Potter's powers, what kind of a world would this be? And yet children are aspiring to this. Is that not true, Carol?
Oh, I think so, Dave. You've hit my concerns completely. Because this has been so glamorized, and remember, this is the first time that witchcraft has been presented to children in a children's world, in a children's format, that children can understand, and the whole concept of witchcraft is now being glamorized and normalized to children. This used to be a religion that was practiced by adults, consenting adults, who would keep their children in a sense away, although the children may have grown up in the families of witches. Children weren't involved, and there's a very important reason for that, because a lot of the ceremonies and rituals involved do concern themselves with sexual intimacy, and because this is a feminine cult, this is a feminine cult worship religion per se, the religion of feminism, and there's just inappropriate underage rituals and ceremonies involved. And here we have now children being introduced to this religion, and the children that are being introduced to it are school age and younger. They're reading age. And remember, these books aren't just out there for parents to choose, in a sense, to read these, that the children, the parents that want to have their children reading it. These books are being promoted by Scholastic Inc., who are the publishers, the American publishers, who have been producing curriculum for the public schools for 80 years, for the last 80 years. They are the publishers that introduce these Harry Potter books in the hundreds into the school system, into the public libraries in America.
Mm-hmm. Carol, let me give our listeners an example of what we're talking about. Now, they probably haven't read the books, some, maybe many out there, and they may have not seen the film, but as I was watching the film, and I'm going to quote from the book because, as you said, Carol, it's very close. Obviously, they couldn't put it all in because it was, I think it was a 3-hour film. But there was one scene with Professor Snape, and he was in charge of potions, and Harry's attending this class for the first time. Now, here is a quote from the professor about potions. Quote, "As there is little foolish wand-waving here, many of you will hardly believe this is magic. I don't expect you to really understand the beauty of the softly simmering cauldron with its shimmering fumes, the delicate power of liquids that creep through human veins, bewitching the mind, ensnaring the senses. I can teach you how to bottle fame, brew glory, even stopper death." Wow. That was a shocker for me. Again, Carol, as you said, this is not for little kids. This isn't even for big kids. This is, as Dave said, this is power. And this is power to control others.
Absolutely. And also remember that when somebody gets involved in the religion of witchcraft, they want to pursue the powers. They have made an adult decision, usually. By the time that they get to some of the classes that little 11 and 12-year-old children are being taught, because Harry was 11 when he first came to Hogwarts, and then each year he grows a year older. He's now at 14 years old. It was at 11 years old that he discovered he was a witch, and he was invited to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Now, here are occult teachers teaching little children, and remember that some of these children, if they can't read, Scholastic Inc. the publishers have put all this on cassette. So little children can now listen to these stories and are being initiated into extremely advanced classes in occultism.
Mm-hmm. Gary, we've got a caller.
Yes, Tom, we do. And I want to remind you that if you'd like more information about Jeremiah Films' video, Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackage, or Dave Hunt's new video, Israel, Islam, and Armageddon, you can call our ministry now at 800-937-6638. That gets you direct to our operators where you can find out about those videos, our other resources, and sign up for a free monthly newsletter. On our call-in line, 888-564-6173, if you want to talk to Tom, Dave, or Carol tonight about Harry Potter. Joining us on that line now is Michael, calling in from Emporia, Virginia. Michael, you're on with Dave and Tom.
Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Good.
This question is for Carol. I'm in Leviticus 19, verse 31. It says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them." Well, my question actually is, how do you see Harry Potter as fitting into the great apostasy or the falling away at the end times?
Michael, Harry Potter fits in incredibly, in a very, very scary way, because actually it is part of the conditioning now reaching our children. It has come down to the level of little 3-4-year-olds that can't read, who are learning to be in contact with mediums. Because Harry is in touch with mediums. Harry's world is replete with dead people. There are ghosts that come out in the corridors, come out of pictures. The heads of each of the fraternities in the school are ghosts. There are interaction with these people that have lived 500 years ago, creatures that come as half this and half that, half birds, half horses, half unicorns, this mythological mixture of creatures, which from a biblical point of view has to be demonic, because when God created animals, he created them after their own kind. But here are things coming into Harry's pages, into the corridors of the school, that say that they've been around, that appear as apparitions. In fact, actually, the children in certain classes are taught to conjure up their fears, what they fear the most, to bring them into reality through the use of their imagination, so that they, in this power that Harry has, can fight them in this supposed force, in the white force that Harry has. Well, these things that appear come in the apparition of, for instance, Harry's dead parents. Nine of the people that the evil Lord Voldemort murdered come and help Harry in one of his adventures. So the child that is reading this sees that there is no distinction between those that have died and passed away and those that come forward saying that they are, for instance, Harry's parents or whatever they manifest themselves as. Harry looks into a mirror, longs to see his parents, and his parents come. So here are all sorts of occult variations that we are told to stay away from in the Bible because they are so cunning and they do promise power. And Harry does appear to be having more power from each book, from book 1, 2, 3, 4, he does get more powerful. Mm-hmm. By the time book 4 comes along, he's able to do incredible magic against the evil Lord Voldemort. They both have the same powers in their wands. So anyway, Michael, to answer your question, it's part of a conditioning process to children that they can interact with the supernatural world, that it can appear to them in apparitions that appear to be friendly or can be scary.
Mm-hmm. Let me interject here for a moment. The imagination is one of the key words in the Bible. Imagination is actually the door into the occult. The witch doctor, the shaman, he goes in his imagination to the upper world or the lower world, into the future, into the past. This is how the shaman or the witch doctor, the medicine man, picks up his spirit guide. He uses visualization. He sees it in his mind. And then these entities become real. This is the same thing as Silva method now. This is how you build your laboratory and so forth. And Carol, you would know, having been involved in some of these things in the past, that the imagination is the doorway into the occult. Mm-hmm. So now we have children whose imagination is being captivated by these pictures painted in the book, in the movie, and so forth, by the prospect of developing powers like this, and they are, in fact, being led down the path into occult involvement. We did a video way, way back there, and I remember interviewing, in fact, some of these people I knew very well, who as children developed these occult powers. I remember one young lady who could lie in bed and turn the light out. You know, she didn't have to get up in her bedroom to turn the light out, who began to imagine things. And a child's imagination is very active, and we're not saying that a child shouldn't have an imagination, but the imagination is really excited in this series of Harry Potter and in the movie to lead the child into a world of the occult. Now, what is the world of the occult? It is a denial of God. It's like Star Wars. There is no true God. You've got this force out there. So they're being taught that there is some power, that there are miracles and so forth, not the God of the Bible, not through our submission to his will, not through Jesus Christ. I remember a Sunday school class, and you could give many illustrations like this. And here is, in a little boy's Sunday school class, the teacher says, well, if you're afraid of the dark or whatever, where do you turn? One little boy raises his hand and says, to He-Man. And a little girl says, to She-Ra, Princess of Power. And these kids are really being led to believe this sort of thing. They're being taken away from Jesus Christ. I think it's very, very dangerous.
Question for Dave, Tom, or Carol. How does this motion picture compare or contrast to or with Tolkien's Lord of the Rings? And before you get to that question, a reminder, if you want to call in, you can reach us at 888-564-6173 and reach our ministry directly at 800-937-6638. Tom, question is yours.
Well, that's a tough one. It's not out yet, is it, to my knowledge?
No, it isn't.
And I'm not. Carol, are you familiar with Tolkien and
no.
The Hobbit and the trilogy?
No, I read them ages and ages ago, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't like to get too involved in the answer. However, I would say that the difference, I feel, with reservation, is that C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, of course, based their stories on somewhat of a biblical worldview. I mean, at least, even though, of course, C.S. Lewis came from an occult background, and there's some fusion and gray areas there. The fact is that there was a worldview that certainly in C.S. Lewis, he said he saw the witches as bad. He saw that the witches had power to seduce, and when Edward was seduced by the witches' power, he saw it as an issue not to continue with. The difference with Harry Potter's world, of course, is that it is a world of witchcraft. Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry is where these 350 children come to learn about wizardry. It's a 1,000-year-old school that taught Harry's parents before Harry about witchcraft. And witchcraft is seen as good, with good powers. Harry is championing, supposedly, the good. He is supposedly pursuing integrity and good character. Well, we know that Harry cheats and lies and steals, and so do his teachers, who encourage Harry to cheat. So the adults in the books are doing exactly the same things. In fact, when Harry practices wizardry and knows he's an underage wizard and knows he shouldn't have done what he did, he cursed his aunt and blew her up, or that he shouldn't have been practicing out of school during the school holidays and did it when he went back to school and thought he was going to be expelled. Indeed, he wasn't. And the whole thing was glossed over, and they said, well, Harry, that's not even an issue. There's something far worse taking place, and, you know, we're going to keep our eyes focused on something else. So there is the confusion, and while a lot of Christian people say that Harry represents good and fights for good and is a character that pursues good, he is a witch.
Right.
And we know that Satan comes as an angel of light. We know that there's a shade of Satan that is light, just as much as there's a very, very dark side of him. That's the way that he comes in and seduces. And think of the very first seduction of Satan's. He was able to seduce somebody who was made perfect. Eve was perfect. She had no sin. And if he could seduce her with his argumentation, surely we're all going to fall prey.
Mm-hmm. And Carol, he seduced her with the idea she could have power.
Yes.
The power of the gods. And that is exactly the seduction of this series.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, you know, going back to Michael's question before, where he said, how does this fit in with end time prophecy? Look at the conditioning process of the children. Here we have got this book now printed in over 110 million copies in just America alone. It's gone into 200 countries, been translated into 47 languages, and children all over the world, to show their allegiance to Harry, are taking the same mark on their forehead that Harry was given as a death curse by the evil Lord Voldemort on his forehead, the lightning bolt, right where the third eye is, where the occult sign is, right there on the forehead. And here are children taking the mark of the same beast on their own foreheads to show their allegiance to Harry. Now, for what future leader will they do that? If they've already shown their allegiance to this little wizard, they're going to be much more susceptible to taking a mark later mm-hmm. on. So the conditioning process and the symbology that children are learning from the Harry Potter books is interesting and very scary. And I think another one of the concerns is, of course, that they're not fearful of what's in Harry's books. The thing that kept me away from the occult was that I actually something deep inside me kept me fearful. But the Harry Potter books have been wrapped in humor, and they're told to confront their fears. They're told that they can master their fears through psychic abilities, and that they can conjure their own power from within themselves to do this. So children are not fearful. So when Harry, who speaks to snakes, and Harry hears voices in his head, Harry has nightmares. When little children have these same things, they think, well, I'm not going to be scared because Harry isn't scared.
Hey, Carol, it's interesting. The book doesn't avoid some of those things. We have some of the professors saying, now, this is a very dangerous craft, and we know that the occult is supposed to be a matter of laws.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not scientific or physical laws, but
not moral laws,
but spiritual laws.
Yes, sir.
Carol, there's one other thing that, you know, as I've talked to people about this, they say, well, you know, this is really just mythology. You know, you can't really take this seriously. And these are Christians saying this to me. Now, here's my problem. If this is mythology, if this is just fantasy, why does the Bible condemn it? What they're saying, without realizing it, is that the Bible is addressing something that it need not address, and in very strong terms. Let me read you from Isaiah 47. I'd like to read this for our listeners. Now, I think, Dave, and you can correct me on this, I think this is prophetic. I think it dealt with the Babylonians at the time, but I also think it has fulfillment in these last days. I'm going to begin. This is Isaiah 47, verse 9. But these two things shall come upon thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted me. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, or how to charm it away, in other words. And mischief or evil shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. There's the prophetic part, at least it seems to be, with regard to what we're seeing happening today. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit, if thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee.
Let me try to put a perspective on this. There is such a thing as occult power. There is such a thing as satanic power, demonic power. It's real. Now, most of the people who think they're involved in it, the palm readers and so forth, they're phonies. The fortune tellers are phonies. But there is a real power involved. Silva method leads people into a real power. So there is a reality behind what Harry Potter is depicting. That is witchcraft. It is evil. It is not of God. Now, Carol referred to the Antichrist, and someone asked about how does this prepare for the coming world religion. Well, the Antichrist is the ultimate wizard. He has all the power of Satan, and Satan is able to turn this loose through this man, and he is able to do lying signs and wonders that deceive the whole world. So certainly, as Carol says, and she didn't make the connection directly, but taking that mark on the forehead could certainly lead a person to be disposed to taking the mark of the Antichrist. And looking up to Harry Potter or looking up to the instructors in the school as wizards, the Antichrist will have these powers, and in fact, he will declare that he is God. Now, that's an interesting verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He doesn't claim to be the God of the Bible. I remember in India talking to some of these gurus and claiming that they're God. But then when I ask them a few questions, well, did you create the universe? Obviously, the universe was here before you were, so you could hardly have created it, and so forth. No, they don't mean the God of the Bible. And to become a bodhisattva, for example, as the Dalai Lama would lead you into being a little god, or Maharishi Mahesh Yogi would lead you into being a little god. These little gods are in rebellion against the one true God. They are usurping the powers of God. And this is exactly who Satan is. He's the one who said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself above the throne of God, and so forth. So we have children being led into the idea that they can develop these powers that Satan offered to Eve, by which the human race was destroyed, which has been the lie of the serpent ever since. And I think it definitely has. There's a conditioning factor here that is preparing people for the coming world religion and the Antichrist, mm-hmm. the ultimate wizard.
As I was going through some of this, it reminded me of, we've been working together for a long time. And I remember studying or finding information about Uri Geller, the mm-hmm. Israeli psychic. And this has to be 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was on a lot of TV programs, mm-hmm. and his item was he would bend spoons. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the Amazing Randy or these skeptics would say, it's just a technique, everybody could do it. Mm-hmm. But here's what really shocked me about this. Mm-hmm. As he would go from TV program to TV program, the stations, their phone boards would light up because children out there were doing the same. Their mothers were call frightened because the children were able to do what he was doing.
Rubbing a finger across the key and it bends, or a spoon.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know the technique. So there is this concern that children are going to become wizards.
It opens the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it fulfills the spirit of the supernatural laws. You said there are supernatural laws just as there are laws in physics. And if you stand up on a balcony 22 feet high and jump, you're going to land splat on the sidewalk. And there are certain things that if you open up doorways into the occult, there will be powers, and God knew that. And going back to what you initially said, Dave, there are occult powers, whether people want to believe them or not. If there weren't, then why was God so concerned? He knew that there was a power. Mm-hmm. He told us not to be involved in it. And that is what the warning in the scriptures are, telling us don't be involved because these things will lead to your demise.
Mm-hmm. And it is rebellion against God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is denying that the only true miracles come from God. These are lying miracles. It is a denial that God should direct our lives. No, we can develop powers and we can control our own lives. So rebellion and witchcraft, as the verse Tom quoted, they are connected together. Rebellion is witchcraft and witchcraft is rebellion. I guess, do we have another
caller? Here we have a caller. Gary?
Angel of North Webster, Indiana is calling on. Good evening, Angel. You're on Search the Scriptures Daily.
Welcome,
hi, Angel.
I had a question. I have a friend who is a Christian who I was surprised that she said to me that she was reading the Harry Potter books, not to research it, but just for pleasure, and that she's really enjoying them, and she doesn't see any harm in reading them because she loves Jesus, and there's no way they could draw her away from him. And I was just curious what your opinion was on adults reading the material just for fun.
Well, what is the point of reading about evil? What is the point of reading a book that glamorizes witchcraft and wizardry? How could you possibly enjoy that? That tells me that there is something wrong. This person has already apparently been seduced away from the truth. Why could you find enjoyment in this? That's beyond my comprehension. Maybe Carol has some ideas.
Well, Dave, let me add to that. If you love somebody, and it's very clear that they say, this is not good for you, this is
God
really bad.
God says it, right?
How can you, on the one hand, say that you really love them?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. To say that you love Jesus, and yet when Jesus says not to be involved in even listening to, in Deuteronomy, even listening to those who believe in sorcery, divination, etc. And I think the thing that happens is that the reader does become, in a sense, anesthetized, seduced, if you will, into the books being okay, and that they won't get pulled in. All right, they may not get pulled into some of the rituals and ceremonies, but their mind is being anesthetized to a worldview, in a sense, the mainstream thinking that says that it's okay to read witchcraft. I know Christians that will pick up pornographic magazines and say that they're having pleasure in looking through them. They won't go to pornography, they won't be seduced by it, but they're enjoying looking through it. It's absurd.
It's incredible.
We have another caller. Ed is calling in from Alamogordo, New Mexico, on our call-in line, 888-564-6173. Ed, you're on the air with Dave and Tom.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I heard that you guys said that Harry Potter and the books and the movie are very closely knitted to real witchcraft. Now, what are the chances that the kids, I heard you talking about bending spoons and stuff earlier, kids, what are the chances that they can take notes off these movies and actually perform witchcraft and invite demonic spirits into their homes?
They're already set up to do that. Carol, why don't you fill us in?
Yes, in actual fact, Ed, this is the issue that I think is probably the most serious.
Yes.
Is that children are being taught about witchcraft in schools, because these books that actually repackage witchcraft are being taught in classrooms across the nation. The publishers of Harry Potter are also the providers of school curriculum and have provided school curriculum for 80 years. Now, they have teaching aids. For instance, this particular book that I've got in front of me, Beecham's Sourcebook. And this particular book is a teaching aid in the classrooms. And these books actually encourage children to link into websites, occult websites, official Wiccan websites where children can learn more. Mm-hmm. There's this other book here I've got in front of me, which is a book by Silver Ravenwolf, who is a witch, and it's called Teen Witch Kit. Now, I picked this book up in Barnes & Noble, just yards away from the Harry Potter display. And this is teaching children how to communicate with powers, how to draw down powers from the moon, how to cast spells, how to ask spirit to bless them for inspiration and think positive thoughts about movies. So here are actual witches and pagans using the Harry Potter opportunity, the Harry Potter phenomenon, to draw children, to further proselytize children into websites that actually introduce them into deeper religious ceremony and ritual. So,
Carol, let me. I'm holding a book called The Sorcerer's Companion, subtitle A Guide to the Magical World of Harry Potter. Now, I look on the back, and it says, Book of Spells and Curses were highly popular during the Middle Ages, from amulets to zombies. You'll also learn how to read tea leaves, where to find a basilisk today, how King Frederick II of Denmark financed the war with a unicorn horn. It just goes on and on and on.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. I mean, you know the world of Satan. He's got his ways of recruiting. What are the chances of somebody just watching the movie alone and getting notes and saying, okay, I watched the movie and I've got these little notes and I'm going to perform some witchcraft tonight when I go home or right now?
Ed, the chances are absolutely enormous. In fact, in the video that we made, the children that were interviewed in that said that they laid awake at night. In fact, J.K. Rowling's interviewed some children who said they wanted to go to Hogwarts. If you see the websites, they are replete with invitations to children, and because children are thinking that Hogwarts is real, and because they do want the power that Harry wants, they want to learn the sorcery that Harry is learning.
The world's in a state of backsliddenness. These people who are praying to God for peace and all this stuff since 9/11, I mean, they don't pray to the same God I pray to as you and I pray to. Praise God for being with us, and I just hope that more Christians will bind this sort of thing in their prayers and take authority and dominion over it. As far as I have one other thing, just a comment before I let you go here. These people in the church that don't think there's a problem with it, well, they've obviously been desensitized, and these people should really be sat down with the pastor if it comes to his attention, and they should really be talked to, because it's counter scripture to even dabble in this. You're supposed to avoid temptation. But I appreciate you answering my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just mention how effective this can be. he asked, well, could someone begin to practice this and get involved in it? Well, probably they have read the book or they wouldn't have gone to the movie, or if they go to the movie, they will read the book. So they have plenty of instruction there. Let me give some examples. A Ouija board, for example. Ouija board seemed like an innocent thing.
It's a parlor game, Dave.
Yeah. It became the most popular parlor game in America. It was specifically designed to contact the spirits of soldiers who had died in France in World War I. And many people got involved in the occult. And we can go back and tell stories of major occultists who first were introduced to the occult through a Ouija board. They didn't believe that it had these powers, but they began playing with it, and the Ouija board demonstrated it to them. Now, let me give you another example. There was a group of parapsychologists, skeptics, did not believe in such powers. They're known in literature as the Philip Group. They were in Toronto, Canada. And they said, well, you know, we don't believe in this table tipping, you know, people sit around a table and sounds come out of it and it spells out words and then it lifts and so forth. But they said, we'll pretend. And they made up the name. It's called the Philip Group because they made up a history of an imaginary person, Philip, and so forth. And they were very sincere. They're experimenting. This is an experiment now. Mm-hmm. They're trying to debunk it, prove that it doesn't really work. And they sit around this table. They call on Philip and so forth. Well, finally, they said, maybe we have to really believe in Philip. And when they started to really believe that there was such a person as Philip, well, you know the story, Tom. Mm-hmm. Philip began to manifest himself, corrected them on their history, told how he had committed suicide in a love affair off the parapet of a castle in Scotland, I think it was. And then, and they have this on video, that table levitated, and they had to run to keep up with it. Now, all I'm saying is, when a little child begins to believe that there are such powers and follows the directions in Harry Potter books, and in the movie and so forth, they can be led right down the path into the world of the occult.
And to take it one step further, Dave, they mm-hmm. want to be led. They've already been seduced. They've already read the books. Now they're at the movie. They're lying awake at night. They want to go to Hogwarts. And so they want that power. Mm-hmm. In this Teen Witch Kit book that I've got here, when we earlier were talking about imagination, they are teaching teenagers how to create divinity within themselves. And this book is just such an amazing little booklet, just 100 pages, but it's telling the child how they concentrate and use their imagination, and that they make a circle, that the circle begins in their mind, and that this personal space is dedicated to divinity. And the book goes on how to invite this divinity in. But they say something very interesting. Remember, it says that kids take to magic a lot faster than most adults because their imaginations are less diluted mm-hmm. by social conformity. And this whole book continues telling the teenager how they can get involved in magic. And here's another quote, that magic travels the path of least resistance. If there are obstacles, the energy will move off in a different direction that you may not have anticipated. So here are children being taught in this book how to become possessed, and it isn't a fearful thing. And it's the same with Harry Potter. Invite this power in. Little Hermione tells Harry Potter, you must concentrate, Harry, you must concentrate, and then you can have the power you want. And of course, we see that Harry's powers get stronger and stronger mm-hmm. because he does focus in. And so little children are learning these things as Harry learns them, so they're learning them.
Yeah, you know, the other aspect of this is someone would say, well, how much do you have to get involved before this becomes really dangerous? Well, it's a matter of the will. Dave, as you know, what was it, 5 or 6 months ago, we did a story on our radio program about a jail in Orange County. Mm-hmm. This is the stories in the Orange County Register. You can check it out for yourself, folks. It had to do with some prisoners who made up a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. Made it just
made it
crude,
themselves.
Crude as you can imagine. Well, the upshot of it was it terrorized. What went on in that cell terrorized the entire jail. They brought a priest in to exercise these things. They had psychologists all over the place. Again, check it out, the Orange County Register.
Let me put it in a biblical perspective here. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is rebellion. This is rebellion against the one true God. This is following in Satan's path. I will be like the Most High. This is, Carol said, this book teaches you how to develop godhood within. Well, this is what the Dalai Lama goes around initiating people into this. This is what Maharishi Mahesh Yogi initiates people in. This is the whole world of the occult. Mm-hmm. Satan has one lie. You can be like God. So this is rebellion against the true God. Instead of submission to God and to his power and allowing him to run his universe, we are going to take over his universe, and we're going to tap into some power out there, and we will be able to be little gods ourselves, and we can make our own rules. We can have our own magic and so forth. There's nothing about sin. There's nothing about redemption. There's nothing about man's separation from God because of sin. It's like Hinduism. You're not, or Islam, you're not separated from God because of sin. This God in Islam is so far away. It's normal to be separated from him, and there is no possible reconciliation. And in Hinduism, as Carol knows, being raised over there in India, knows a lot better than I do, there's no sin. In Hinduism, the big sin is to say you're a sinner. We are simply ignorant of this power that we all have within us. Now, the scripture talks about miraculous power, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14. But it says these are the powers of God, that if there's healing, if there's prophecy, whatever there is, this is a manifestation of the Spirit of God as he wills. But in the Harry Potter books and in the world of the occult, this is not under the control of the true God, but you become a god yourself. Harry Potter becomes a little god, and he can blow up his aunt or whatever. He can do what he wants to do, even though it's evil. So we're talking about rebellion. We're talking about denial of the true God. We're talking about a denial of sin. We're talking about a denial of the need of redemption. There is no mention of Jesus Christ. And I guess we got another caller here, so let's go to him.
From South Bend, Indiana, Terry, you are on with Dave and Tom.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Terry.
Yeah, my question was, I kind of got the feeling off of Wizard of Oz, even a long time before Harry Potter came out, that it kind of preconditioned society against the dark arts by saying that there's good magic and bad magic. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, or if I'm just way offline with that.
Mm-hmm. No, you know, the Wizard of Oz, to me, it was all about the potential within, which is a part of the occult, a part of the lie that Satan gave to Eve of the Garden of Eden. Certainly, they had black witches, but they also had white witches. So it's part of the same theme. Carol?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And I think here again, what makes this particular Harry phenomenon so dangerous is that hundreds and thousands of children are being introduced to this, because it's being brought down to a children's world in a children's format that they understand. It's in the classroom with their teachers, and the teachers are teaching them in the real life classroom, just as Harry's teachers are teaching him in the occult classrooms. And here we have adults endorsing it by reading it to the children. So children don't find this fearful because their own teachers are teaching it. And then we have Christian parents reading it to children saying, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, if God thought so seriously about there being something wrong with it, why are Christian parents doing it? So to me, the greater rebellion is that now we're moving it down to a lower, lower, lower age. And even though within Harry Potter's books, as Tom mentioned earlier, there are restrictions, there is the Board of Magic that does have rules there, but Harry breaks the rules, and so do the teachers. And it doesn't matter that the books in the library, the dark occult books, are out, are under restrictive reading, because Harry still goes in there and looks at them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter that there are rules that say that underage wizards cannot perform these things. Harry still does it, and the teachers are saying it's okay, this isn't usually meant to be done, but I'm going to break the rules to do it. So the very spirit of the book is teaching young children to be in rebellion of rules, be in rebellion of authority, that they can have these powers themselves, that they don't need to be fearful, and particularly at a time when children coming from dysfunctional families, broken homes, the September the 11th issue that just happened, the tragedy, the chaos in the world, children are being conditioned that they can look for power within themselves and start bringing some control into all the things around them by tapping into their own powers, just like mm-hmm. Harry does.
Mm-hmm. Carol, I've got a question for you, Dave. Okay, it's my turn for a question. We have about 2 minutes left. Is a Christian going to go to hell because he goes through a Harry Potter movie or reads a Harry Potter book? And you know what I'm getting at here. Is there a legalism involved here or why?
If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. Jesus said, I give my sheep eternal life. They will never perish. Mm-hmm. He said, he that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. On the other hand, a Christian can lose their reward. They're disobeying their Lord. They're a child of God. They will be disciplined. The Father disciplines every son that he receives, the Scripture says. Now, what's happening here is, again, let me bring it back to this in the few moments that we have, is a denial of God. The witches make the rules. There's a denial of redemption. There's a denial of the real problem that we're separated from God by sin and that we need redemption through Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to get back to. And Christian parents or whoever they are, let's get into the Word of God and let's stay away from this stuff.
You've been listening to a special live broadcast of Search the Scriptures Daily with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. We would like to thank Carol Matriciana of Jeremiah Films for joining us and everyone at KRTM Radio and CSN International for making tonight's program possible. If you would like more information about the Berean Call, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank all of tonight's participants and all of you for tuning in, and invite you to join us again next time. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.